الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات صدق الله العظيم. We were discussing the aspect that kutiba alaykum as-siyam, that rozas have been made faraz upon you, fasting has been made faraz upon you, from which ulama have written that besides the basic roza, that is with niyat, a person abstains from food and drink and his sexual desires from the time sehri times gets finished until sunset. That is roza. That is the basic roza. But the complete roza is that a person keeps roza of his tongue also. He doesn't speak anything which is haram, which is wrong, which is abusive, which will hurt somebody. He keeps roza of his eyes also, that he doesn't look at anything which is haram. He doesn't look down upon any person. He keeps rozas of his ears also. He doesn't listen to anything which is haram, which he's not supposed to listen to. And he doesn't use his ears to spy on anyone else also. Then we discussed the roza of the heart and mind. He keeps his heart and mind also clean. That is, no dirty, filthy thoughts about other people. And he makes good intentions. And he doesn't have pride in him. And that also we discussed to a little extent and length. Then next, and all this is, if we keep the basic roza, it's like the structure of a building. And nobody just lives in a structure. You want the house to be complete, and you want the finishing to be done also. So by keeping roza of all these other things, that is the finishing. And that is really when a person will enjoy keeping rozas. If you have to go and stay in a house, the walls are up, the ceiling is up, the roof is up, everything. But it's not carpeted, it's not tiled. Though you are staying in the house, but you don't enjoy staying in that house. When all the finishing is done, and to the details, you enjoy living in there. Just like that, if our rozas also, we keep it with all its finishings, then we'll actually get enjoyment in roza. We'll look forward to the month of Ramadan. Unfortunately, for the most of us now, Ramadan comes, though we don't speak about it, which is a good thing, but we feel it's a burden, it's a hardship, it's a difficult time. We don't get that enjoyment, like a businessman. December comes, he's going to work very hard. He's going to be very busy, but he doesn't feel it a burden. He looks forward to December. He wishes the whole year must be December. Like that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if my ummah knew what was Ramadan and what are rozas, they will wish the whole year must be Ramadan. So this is when we complete it. Another example to understand that, if a person buys for 5 rand and sells for 5 rand, he makes no profit. There's no doubt he'll be the busiest man in the town for a few days, because nobody else is selling so cheap. But he'll be the first man out of business also, because he can't even pay his overheads, can't pay his workers also, and he's making no profit. But what keeps a businessman in business? Though there are so many hazards in business, so many risks in business, but the profit that he makes, that keeps him going all the time, and he's eager to carry on with his business. Himself is ill, he goes to work. His wife is ill, his family, but he goes to work. Why? The profit he makes. So if we make the profit in roza, we will enjoy roza. Then we, no matter what happens, we will want to keep our roza. When we see that profit. And what is the seeing the profit? You see that your tongue is under control. Really, that is such a ni'mat that you will make so much shukr to Allah that my tongue is under control. When your eyes are under control, your anger is under control, and your thoughts are under control. Your thoughts are not only under control, but they are geared in the right direction. And how valuable these thoughts become. through like intentions, how valuable they become, how you'll enjoy Roza when you see the profits of Roza. So the next aspect that we will discuss inshallah is Roza of the stomach. And that is the food that a person should see that he eats only how much is necessary for him to eat, and he must eat the right food. That is very important. At one time, Hazrat Maulana Shah, Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, gave a bayan in Lanesia about, he said he started off in this way, he read the ayat, Ya ayyuhar rusul, kulu minat tayyibat. Allah is addressing the rasuls, and they are a class above the nabis. Every rasul is a nabi also. But every Nabi is not a Rasul. Rasul is that messenger of Allah whom Allah has given his own Sharia and his own Kitab. So in other words, the highest ranking people, the Rasuls, Allah is addressing them. And Allah Ta'ala tells them, Kulu mina tayyibat, that you must eat of what is tayyibat, halalan tayyiba. What is tayyib? What is pure? What is wholesome? What is healthy? You must only eat that. In other words, Allah didn't tell them halal and tayyiba. Halal was in the bag already. It has to be halal. In order to be tayyib, it has to be halal first. And then Allah Ta'ala said, wa'amalu saliha, and do righteous and good deeds. Ulama have written, and Hadraji explained, that between our eating and our a'mal, there is a very close link. What is a famous saying? You are what you eat. You are what you eat. So, if a child is born, when the parents drank zamzam water, and of that the semen was made, and the child was born, and they gave him zamzam when he was born, and they grew him up on zamzam, that child will be a Makki. Right? He will have association with Makkah Sharif. That child that was born when the parents ate khajur of Medina Sharif, and they grew him up with khajur of Medina, that child will be a Madani. And that child that the parents ate junk food, and they grew the child up with junk food, that child will be a junkie. And that is exactly what it is. When we eat this junk food, then we are junkies. If the head fits, you'll have to wear it. We have to see what we eat. You are what you eat. So there is a very close link between what we eat, what we think. Many we are worried of our thoughts also, our wayward, way out thoughts that we get. Terrible wasawis, our actions, we don't like to do the things we are doing. But we are caught up, we are doing those things, it's what we are eating. So it's very, very important to see that what we eat. So in Ramzan, the treatment of it is, try and eat a little less than what is necessary. Not only how much is necessary, but try and eat a little less. And abstain totally from doubtful food. May we come to the stage that we eat tayyiban, but abstain from doubtful food also. Any food that you have got a doubt in, abstain from it. And do this for a few days, this 1 month of Ramadan. Spend a chilla and do that, and see Allah will change your taste buds also. Today, unfortunately, our condition is like one child told when they were sitting and eating at a dastarkhan that I wanted black zamzam. The coke, that is the taste we got for. For the white zamzam, we got no taste for it. We even prefer ordinary water to zamzam water. You have to build a taste for it. And once you build a taste for zamzam, then you won't be able to drink other water the way you will enjoy zamzam. Similarly, with olive oil, it is extremely healthy. It's the oil which the Quran has spoken about. And this also, you need a taste for olive oil. A person who hasn't got taste for olive oil and olives, he won't enjoy eating them. That little bitterness. But once you get a taste, you won't be able, you'll have all your cooking done in olive oil. You'll have everything, you'll only use olive oil. All these healthy things you require a taste. Today we got taste for all junk food. Health food we haven't got. If mommy cook mug, is a big problem that day in the house. The children put up big tantrums and they go on strike, we're not eating. They get up, mommy, what you made here? Mud you made, dar you made. But if she puts burgers on the table and all the other things, then see how the smiles come on everyone's face and how they devour it. Not only eat it, but they devour it. They go like wild over it. So it's very, very important that we see what we eat and that we eat halalan tayyiban. Halal, today we are all satisfied. We have reached a stage that for the moon, at one stage we all should go and look for the moon. And then we should phone one another. News should spread that the moon has been sighted. I'll just see the change in our culture. Today nobody looks for the moon. Our ears are glued to the radio. And today the news of the moon comes from the radio. Not that it has been sighted. Just on the radio that the moon has been sighted. That tomorrow is Ramzan. Tomorrow is Eid. Whatever it is, but to go and look for it, that I remember as small children, what an occasion it used to be, that we all used to gather and with the elders and all are busy looking for the moon. That is gone today. Nobody, just a person who fulfills that sunnat also, more than a sunnat, the looking of the moon for Ramzan Eid, for Eid al-Baqar. That is not only sunnat, it is more that we should make endeavor to go and look for the moon. But today we are just glued, either we wait the phone, we keep it, make sure it's not engaged, it's not switched off, that a phone call will come. Or we switch on the radio when we hear, it's a different thing. And the same thing with food today. One time a person used to be concerned whether it is halal. Today all a person is concerned that it must be certified halal. And that certified halal also, this is enough for it to be certified halal, that the halal logo is on there. Whichever halal organizing company there may be, whoever they are, they just write halal, it is enough. And unfortunately that has brought us to the stage where even if they did not write, they did not certify it halal, but just it's written halal, it's enough for us. And just a week or 2 weeks ago, one of the major food outlets, supermarkets, where they've been caught that on their pies, they've got a halal logo, and that people who give the halal, they didn't give it to them. And this cannot be registered. The halal cannot be registered. The law does not allow it to be registered, which means anyone can put halal. When I was in Germiston, and we were teaching there, it was Imtihan day, and Mumtahin Hazrat had all come, and for some reason, the drawer in the table of the classroom, school class it was used for madrasa in the afternoons, opened that drawer, and there was a whole roll with halal stickers. So anyone can use it and put that halal sticker on anywhere. And for the Muslim today, you just see halal, yeah, this is halal, finished. You just found the halal sticker there. And now you make your own pies, you make your own samosas, and on the packet you just put one sticker. One time, one person was traveling in the Orange Free State, and now it's Free State, and he came to a shop that they were selling food stuff, so he saw halal there. So he came back to that shop, that yeah, we're getting halal. He went and he bought from there. And while they were talking, he asked the person that, what is this halal? Just as curiosity, while you're waiting for your food to make conversation, that person said, I don't know what is halal. But I saw that since I put the halal board, my turnover has increased tremendously. That now it's like a ta'weez you put. Now your business is gone up. Because for the Muslim today, just halal is sufficient. One, we were talking about the subject in one country town, so one person told that he had given his car for repair, for service, and he was supposed to be ready at a certain time. He went and picked it up. It wasn't ready, so he was waiting outside for a little while till it gets ready. And then he saw an African woman who is a customer in their shop also. She was coming from opposite the road from OK Bazaars, and she works in Kentucky. So she had two packets of OK Bazaar packets in her hand. And then he spoke to her, he knew her. So he asked, what you got in your packets? She said, chicken. She said that, but yes, it is written halal. These chickens are not halal, you went and buy them there. She said, my chickens got finished, what must I do? I must go and buy. The minute the thing is a commercialized thing, you don't look at halal or haram, you don't look at what is right, what is wrong, all you look at, sabse bara paisa peer. That money is the biggest thing, that you just want to make money all the time. That same family explained further, they said that the son or daughter was studying at a university, and they were from the country town, so they came and visit the son or daughter over the weekend, and then they decided to eat out. When they went to the food outlet, they ordered their goods, it takes little while, they prepare it, they warm it, so they asked them that this halal that's written here, what does it mean? So that worker there told it means piri piri, masalas. That we just add whatever you add masala to, it becomes halal. So that is their concept of halal. But the Muslim is so gullible. He is just happy. We just see it's written halal. Whoever wrote it, some white people, non-Muslims, they were opening up a business. So one of them suggested, put halal also, put the signboard halal. They say, for what? They say, you'll see your business will increase tremendously. Because Muslims are only interested in what is halal. They want what is halal. But they don't find out what is the behind that halal board. Just that the halal board is there. Whether it is halal or whether it is totally, not only haram, but actually pork. Fark. And the people enjoy to eat it. Unfortunately, our taste has come that we just enjoy these things. We are not concerned. And this whole history of this halal also is very strange. I don't remember it so well, but just to give you a gist of it, when the British were fighting the Muslims predominantly, the Indians in India, and they were sending bullets, and they had hired people to work for them, for the British army. And there were Muslim people also in there, in who they had hired to work for them, to prepare their food, etc., in their canteens, people to prepare the bullets and pack it up and give it for the soldiers for the they had hired. And they had sent those bullets, it was cast in pig things. When the Muslims came to know, they objected. So then they just changed the name. Afterwards, now slowly, gradually, all they have come to, it's the same old story, but only with E numbers. And today all the E numbers, we just see E number, we don't worry about it. We should try and find, mashallah, Allah reward those people who have made a list of all the E numbers. And in there they have written down that which are the E numbers which are not allowed. As for Muslims. So we should be on the lookout for this. Whether it's our chocolates, whether it's our ice creams. Today you have got enough money. You got a credit card, you got your checkbook, and you got the trolley, you go in the supermarket, the shelves are full. Whatever you feel like, you're just popping it into your trolley. When you come, you just pay for it. But what is inside, we don't even find out. Today homemade things are very rare commodity. And wherever somebody, if things are prepared at home, they say this is homemade. But that also we should see. Even if it is Muslim companies who are making ice creams, who are making chocolates or whatever else it is. But the basic ingredients still comes from the non-Muslims. And what is in those essence? What is in that concentrate which they are giving? That also we must be concerned about. Because to eat halal is very, very important. Your akhlaq depends on it. Your aqidah depends on it. Your amal depends upon it. And truly, your maut depends on it. How your maut is going to come, whether you're going to have a halal maut, so to say, or you're going to have a haram maut. Whether your maut is going to come on iman, or whether it's going to come on kufr, a great, great contributing factor is the food that we eat. And all today we are concerned to satisfy this tongue of 3-4 centimeters. Make it enjoy. That is all what we are concerned. Further than that, we are not worried. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the awliya, were so particular about their food. One time, just see that what food effect has on a person. One buzurg, a real genuine buzurg, he was traveling. He came to a masjid in Jarara, This is in Muzaffar Nagar, near Deoband, the side Delhi, that area. He made his namaz, Maghrib namaz. And he was reading still his Awabin, etc. So, in a small village, and everyone can see he's an outsider, he's somebody from outside. And very, not long ago, it was a great, great quality of the Muslims. The minute they see an outsider, must arrange food for him, invite him home. Today, unfortunately, that is gone. My grandfather, marhum, they were in West Bank. And those days, many of the Muslims who came to South Africa, the early Muslims, they should used to come from Lorenzo Marx, which is Maputo now. And by train, they should come here. And their condition was, the train passes, comes to West Bank, and there was a railway crossing with the road. And inevitably, the train would stand there and wait. And they would prepare food that somebody must be coming, and we will give them food to eat. So much this hospitality was amongst the people. They should look for opportunities. And like in the masjids, even in the towns, I remember that time, the minute a outsider, then tell him, you have to come home to eat. No matter what happens, you have to eat. You, all your work, you come and you eat. I experienced it myself. For some reason, when I just came back from India after my studies, I had to go to the Queen Street Masjid in Pretoria for some work at the Home Affairs. And Maulana Hazarwi, marhum, he was there, the Imam. He saw me, I'm a stranger, I'm an outsider. And then immediately he told me, you have to come home to eat. No contact, I'm a small boy, he's a senior alim, but see how much. And how I appreciated that food, I can still remember. And in a very simple way, not all elaborate things, just for newspaper he put as a dastarkhan. And it wasn't even those days who used to eat, sit down on the floor and eat. It was all at the table, but it was hardly a table. Something like a piano type of thing it was. Just there he put it, and he put, and put. And he didn't bring the platter and all the food and that. In a one plate he brought the food. When he came back after a little while, he saw the food is about finished, he took the plate, he brought some more food, he put it. But I really, so this is a great quality which is gone out of us today. Today when we see in the masjid, there is somebody not only an outsider, but somebody that we know also. When we see somebody like that, we make amal on the ayat of the Quran, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Say to the believing man, they must cast their gazes low. That was on the road when you see the other woman, but there our eyes pop out big there. So much, not only the eyes, the mouth also opens up and we are gaping at those women. And here where we have to see that person who is a musafir, he has come. Our Haji Bhai, we went in Jamaat together, we were in Khanka together. We see him, invite him home. Or a stranger we see, he has come. Invite the person. Don't be too persistent if the person has got other work, etc., is in a hurry. But at offer, and offer with sincerity. And really we should train our women folk also. Not only that they keep food ready in the deep freeze, but they should keep, they arrange themselves such a way that if we get a sudden visitor, we can feed him. The house food we cook. We are four people in the house, cook for five people, cook for six people. And that same food, we can eat it in the next meal again. Again, cook for a little bit extra. So if there's a visitor, two or three people, we can easily accommodate them. So this is a very, very important aspect. So this person, this buzurg in Ajrara, a doctor noticed that there's somebody else, a medical doctor. So he went up to him, you have your supper with me. He said, no, don't worry about supper. I still have to read my nafils. It will take me some time. And then by then will be Isha. So he said, no, you have to eat. So you have with me. So he insisted. After quite a bit, then he told him, the problem is not really that I haven't got time, but I don't know. You're a stranger. I don't know what your condition is, who you are, what's your earning. He said, I'm a medical doctor. I earn my money from seeing to my patients. I work in a government hospital. So he says, but I don't know the details. He said, I earn so much in those days, whatever he's earning, a good earning, a doctor, and so much more I get from on top. He said, this is what you get from on top, bribes he get, because working in a government hospital, doing somebody's work, etc. So he said, that is the problem, that I can't eat your food. So anyway, he went away, the news spread in the town, there's some buzurg, he doesn't want to eat our food also. Then a farmer came, and he came and he offered him a supper. So he told him, I can't eat, I don't know what your income is, etc. After a little deliberation, then he told me, I'm a farmer. The ground grows the food, the sky brings down the water. What you got doubt in my food? 100% halal my food is. So he says a certain type of business that farmers usually do, which is discussed quite a bit in our kitabs, they sell the crop before it's ripe, the fruit or whatever. And such a sale is not correct, because you don't know a hailstorm can come and you have made a sale. And now there is argument that come, that now where's my crop? And the crop is gone. Whether the crop ripens, whether it's a good crop, whether it's a bad crop, you don't. So you can't sell something majhul, something which you are not aware of, you can't sell something like that. Do you do that per transactions? He said, that is our common transactions that we do. He says, that's a problem, I can't eat. Then a grocer came, a shopkeeper. He explained to him also. Quite a few people. Then Maghrib time, Isha time, all came and they told him that you're not eating any one of our food. After Isha, he said, we will sit down. He said, he told everyone, he corrected their methods. That do this, make Toba. This you refer to the Muftis. Get this corrected by the Muftis. So they all became conscious. Like us as we are sitting here, none of us perhaps are conscious whether my income is halal or not. And so much so, forget the businessman and forget the doctors and forget the professionals. We who are teaching in madrasa perhaps, our income perhaps is not halal. We are supposed to clock in at 2 o'clock and clock out at 5 o'clock. We go 2:30, we knock off at 4:45. In between, we waste time in the wuzukhana, we're talking with other ustads. We have contaminated our income. Is our income halal or not? We are running madrasas. We force people to give money into our madrasa. That money is not halal. For example, on a wedding situation, which is not correct, but our common type of weddings, the girls people feed, which is also not right, and they tell the boys people, we can accommodate 100 guests, 200 guests. But those people, and it is their excellence and their achievement, that if they say 100, we'll make sure we go with 200. If they say 200, we'll make sure we will take 400. Well, we must have the upper hand. And they insist on this, and there's a major talk in the preliminary talks of a nikah, which is common. And if those people are unhappy to feed the extra guests, this is exploitation. This is robbing those people, stealing from them. And how can that food be halal? That food is not halal. Similarly, Allahu Akbar, our Shaykh, Allah reward him tremendously. He told me that for the collection of the madrasa, keep three principles in mind. One is izzat and nafs. Don't go like a beggar. And people think that all these collectors are beggars and they hound us. They just don't leave us at all. No, go with respect. Present your work. We are doing this work, but running a madrasa, this is happening. And what share you want to have? You don't force the person. And if he tells you, I want to give you 50 rand, don't make sure you take out 100 from him. That other 50 has spoiled all your, contaminated all your other money. So that is one, izzat e nafs, azmat e deen. And don't let people also think that deen is the, whoever people represent deen, all they want is money. They're always coming, they want money from you. No, let the respect of deen be in its place. And the third thing is tib khatir. That is, that person must give happily. He must not feel that you have caught him by his throat and you are forcing the money out. Today, common collections are in this way. Whether it is the ulama who do collections for madrasas who come from India, Pakistan, or whether it is local committee people who do common collections. There, it's not the ulama really involved. It is senior business people who are in the committee of the masjids. But they also force people. And they speak freely that what you only giving 500. You can give 5,000. You must give 5,000. And they force it out of the person. That is not jais at all. That contaminates everything. So we should consider what our income is. Also in food, two things we must consider. The money must be halal also. The product must be also halal. One person went to a butcher, nice, pious Muslim man, and he told them, see, I want halal. That person turned around, is your money halal? You want halal meat from me, but is your money halal? Both things have to be halal. So anyway, this buzurg there in Ajrara, after Isha, he sat down and he explained everything. Now everything got sorted out. They realized that our money affairs are not right. Your money affairs are not right, nothing is right there. Your zakat you give is not right. Your hajj you go is not right. Your clothes you buy to make your namaz is not right. So what is right if your money affairs are not right? Then anyway, when he sorted it out, he said, now bring your food. Now I will also eat, you people also eat. Now it became a bit late at night, where they realized, mashallah, that this one person, how he brought a change, complete reformation in us. They said that tomorrow we will sit with him again, and now we have to sort out our other things. We are all going to die. The main thing is life after death, cover we have to face. And that is the important thing, not this dunya that we are making so much money, rosy picture, but it's got no foundation. Its foundation is on feces. Its foundation is on urine. All this big empire of ours we have built, and it is based on feces and on urine. What is the use of it? We have to sort it out. So anyway, when they came after Fajr, they saw he's missing. They asked the Muazzin. They say he got up 3 o'clock. He made his tahajjud. And after that, he had his small little packet and his one sheet shawl. He picked it up and he's gone. But the worry that he left behind, such a worry that they changed their whole life. The whole village got changed. From where Buzurg say, okay, for a reformation, you don't need a whole big group of people, a big organization. One man is enough. In qilab ke liye, sahib-e-dil ki zarurat hai. Sahib-e-qalb ki zarurat hai. Sahib-e-qalb inqilab paida karta hai. A person whose heart is made and he knows reality, that person brings a complete change. Whether you don't have 1,000 people or 20,000 people in a gathering, that is ghuta al-ghayr. That is all the filth and dirt which is on top of the water. You need one man whose heart is made. And this is what we have come here, to make our hearts, to cleanse our hearts. And in that process is absolutely essential that we see, have to see that our earning is halal and that our food that we eat is halal. And there is a little difference between the two also. The halal money, if your money is not halal, 20 years you were earning haram, and you are living on haram, and now you sorted it out, you corrected it. That 20 years of haram is reversed into halal. Whatever you are owing people, you didn't do right deals with people, you went and sort out your matters. That 20 years of haram gets reversed into halal. But the food you ate, that can't be reversed. And the effect of food stays in a person for 40 days. Till then, and it comes in the hadith, for if you got one garment, you know how many garments we wear, the kurta, the vest, the trouser, nine, winter, underpants, socks, topi, sometimes amama, sometimes this waistcoat or a jersey, a jacket, how many things we wear. If one thing is haram for 40 days, your ibadat is not accepted. And today, how much of haram, where there's so much effort and so many muftis give fatwa of interest being halal. This Islamic banking, etc. Where can it be? The simple answer to that, which I subscribe to, Mufti Saeed Palanpuri, the Shaykhul Hadith of Darul Uloom Deoband, Damat Barakatuhum, was asked in one country about Islamic banking. He said, don't even touch that subject. He said, banking cannot be without interest. Whether that bank of yours says we are not taking interest, but they all inevitably bank with the one of the four big banks of the world. And those banks don't deal without interest. The minute it comes, the word banking comes, interest comes in there. We can try and camouflage it with other names. That we are paying a fee. That we are paying some, what? All other names that we can put. But it comes down to interest. So when we are involved in interest to this extent, though ulama, we should consult with the muftis, responsible and reliable muftis. They have shown us ways of how to go about things. So our income must be also halal, and then the food also. And with regard to that, We will come to it, but just let me mention it while it has come to my mind that our chicken today, the common food chicken that everyone eats practically is a broiler. The white feathered chicken, that is what everyone eats, is a broiler. And the slaughtering process is another separate issue. Whether it is halal or haram, that's a complete separate issue. But the feed they give is broilers. If you have to come to know, and not difficult to know, just go on the internet and look at the feed. For chicken, they give them fish meal. And for fish, they give them chicken meal. The chicken that die in the process of rearing them, or in the process of the slaughtering, those chicken are crushed also. And they are made into feed. Just like, just remind me on this point, just like the polony and the sausages we eat, that's all the waste meat. All the waste that comes while they are cutting the meat in the meat cutting machine, and all the other, the stomach things, and all the other things which people normally don't eat. They just grind it, they just mince it very fine. After it is made very fine, they color it beautifully, and then they put flavoring to it, food flavoring that makes it taste nice. And the people, how they enjoy the polony and how they enjoy the sausages. Once on our Shaykh, the Sir Khan Rahmatullah Ali, they brought the polonies in front of Hazrat, whether it was the polonies or the sausages, the plate. Hazrat immediately, isko hatao mere samne se. Remove it from in front of me. Dekh iski shakal kaisi dikhte hai. Just look at the shape of it. And you want me to eat it. And what is its shape? So anyway, the shape is what, and what is inside is even worse. And that we enjoy eating it. And very sadly, people who come with them suffer and that, they also can't desist it. Whether it is in front of the chef also, they listen to our bayan so much, but they also can't desist. It's got such an attraction. And it's got such an attraction, like it's a psychological fact. Small children, infants, they like bright colors, red, yellow. Their clothes are made with bright colors. Their toys are made of bright colors. And there are cold drinks with bright colors. Fanta, orange, Spalletta, raspberry, all the red and the orange and the green, the cream soda. But put that four or five colors, bright colors, and put a black color Coca-Cola. There automatically the hand will go for the Coke. It is made like that. And I'll explain that. Just remind me where I was. Why today children, by nature, we all must have experienced this. You don't know on the cell phone how to get this right. You ask your child, he does two, three things, and there it's fixed up. You are driving on the car, another car is at a distance, far away, and they are shouting Merc, PM, Honda. They know everything of all these things. And they haven't still started school also. And on the computer they know, on the cell phone how they know these things. Our Shaykh, what uloom Allah had given, and what ma'arif Allah had given to our Shaykh, he explained this very, very intricate and difficult thing when we were with Hazrat in Mauritius. Hazrat says that the children who are going to be born, or who are being born at now, at this moment, all of their food, what they eat, what the parents ate, and the food becomes the menses of the mother, and the child eats that. When the child is born, it's eating the food of the present world. And today everything got expiry date. You're not going to eat something of 10 years old. You're eating all the fresh things of war. Now you are eating. So what comes in all our food is with the rays of the sun, and is with the rays of the moon, and the effects of the stars, and in the wind that is there, the rain drops that fall, and all these things are in the air. So it's going into that food, and they are born with that food. That is why they know the things of today. And this wasn't only today, in all zamana it was like that. Whatever the time is of that time, and therefore inventions of a time are according to that era. If the cell phone had come out 1500 years ago, it wouldn't have worked. It comes out now, when this whole environment is set for it, the stage is set for the computer, for the environment, for the cell phone, for fax machine, for all these things, what all technologies today, it is in the air. And then that goes into the food. The parents eat it, the children eat it, and then their minds are, so food works to that extent. And Allahu Akbar, without any doubt, when we have understood that, and I hope we can digest it, we have understood it, and it is digestible, and we can accept it in the same way I understand in the time of the Sahaba, whole environment was Quran and Hadith. Therefore, just as we read for them to make one khatam a week, with all the other work, what deeni work, what dunya's work, the whole environment was of deen. Such children were produced. Allahu Akbar. The king of Afghanistan at one time dosed Muhammad. He, an enemy, he attacked his country. So he sent his army to go and repel the enemy. And he made his son the general of the army, the head of the army. After some days, naturally the king is concerned. And military intelligence, don't think only today of technology that we're getting military intelligence. All throughout history people had the way of getting military intelligence and all other types of intelligence also. So he was all the time alert and following that what's happening on the borders. The enemy has come and our enemy must have reached. And he got news that his enemy is defeated. And the enemy, they are heading to Kabul, the capital. And he was very depressed that my son went and our army got defeated and our country is going to be taken over by the enemy. And he was so very concerned. His wife was the first person. A wife is the one to make out. So she asked him, "What is it? Why are you so concerned?" He said that we went. And I sent the army and they are defeated and the enemy is coming and they are heading for Kabul, the capital. What's going to happen to us? So she said with confidence, "Impossible. Our army can never be defeated." He said he excused her. She's a house lady who lives in the four walls of the house. What she knows about military warfare and military intelligence and all these things, she just talks anything she talks. Just to make me happy, she's telling me. But she persisted. And it's impossible my son can ever be defeated. He has to win. After a few days, new military intelligence came, reversed. That was wrong news we got. And a son has repelled the whole enemy, got rid of them, and he's returning now successfully. So he ashamed, he went to his wife. "I thought you're a woman who just talks out anything, bak-bak karti hai, jo kuch bolna chahte hai, bolti hai. Yeah, what is the reality of this?" So she said, "When I conceived him, not when he was born, when I conceived him, I ate nothing of your money. Because you're the king." And he was a pious king, righteous, but there is little contamination comes in your income also. So I didn't touch your money. I worked with my own hands and pure 100% halal money I earned. And with that I ate. I didn't eat anything. When he was born, only with that 100% halal, that is what I ate. And to a person that is born on that and grown up on that, he can never be defeated on the battlefield. And therefore I had that confidence, that iman in yaqeen. But today what our women eat, what foods they prepare, what is being happening. So you get our crop of children today. Don't blame the children of today. The parents are to blame. The problem is not with the children of today and with the youth of today. The problem is with the parents of today. That we are just indifferent to Islamic injunctions. And we make a joke about halal and haram. It was so serious that on one dastarkhan, a mufti sahab, a sunya mufti, they asked him about coke, and he said, "See, take, I'm drinking coke. And what the contents of coke are. And the halal issue is a separate issue, but there is no doubt in it. From a health point of view, it is nothing but poison. Total poison. A Hindu activist, political activist in India, he sent cold drink to the laboratories for analysis and their results, what they gave him, there is no benefit, which in our term we will say it's only poison. In other words, it's only harmful, nothing good in it whatsoever. The same Hindu activist, he gives bayan in academic places, universities, in the stock exchange in one place, hospitals in another, the staff of the hospitals. And at the end, just how we make bayat. This Hindu, he also takes pledges from the students, this one university. He says, "Main cold drink nahi piyunga." From today I won't drink cold drink. I will unplug my TV plug. I won't watch TV anymore. They also realize the harms of this. But unfortunately we don't. Gee, the colors of the cold drink. The child just goes for the coke there. And this coke is so harmful. So we have to be very careful of what we are eating. And today it is common. All, wherever we go, certified halal. So and so is certified it. And who can supervise it? You give a halal certificate, who can supervise? And the business people, they're behind them, they are mainly the Jews. And their object is to harm the Muslims. How can we expect them to be loyal and make sure that it is halal? And where? Not only in South Africa, in the UK, in America, throughout the world, they are caught out so many times. And not only that they are not, the slaughtering process is not correct, but also that they are selling chicken, beef as chicken. They are selling pork as chicken. South African case where pork was halal, was certified halal. They bluff the people who give the certificates and that this is beef. But in the meantime, it was pork. And how many people in that province must have eaten pork thinking it to be beef and think it to be halal? So this is a very, very serious matter. So this is very important that we become our tongues and our system can only make it such in one Ramzan, that only halal can go down. That you can taste that this thing, I must keep away from it. And the procedure for that is, stay away from all doubtful things. Eat only how much you have to eat. The maximum is the lowest limit. And if you can eat less than that, and whatever you have a doubt in, avoid it for 40 days, one chilla, and see inshallah what qualities will develop in you. When we were studying in Mia's farm, Watafal Islamic Institute, on a Friday we used to be off in madrasa, and our one ustad, Maulana Abbas Ali Jinnah, the president of Jamiatul Ulama, he used to have fowl slaughtered and supplied to the people. A small little thing, 30-40 fowls. So we were students, and we were his students, so he asked if we won't do this for him. For us it was just the best thing we could get, to go out, it's an outing for us. And to go and have the fowl slaughtered, packed, etc. Then go to Joburg. It was a big thing for us. And go and deliver it to the houses, etc. So we were doing it. One day, when we went to the farm, there was some Musa Bay or whoever from the old Fitas, Fordsburg Fitas. He was also there. He was also slaughtering fowls for himself to sell also. And we saw that his black worker, who wasn't a Muslim, he slaughtered it. So we asked him, Musabe, how is this, that this is not a Muslim, he's slaughtering? So he said, I get tired, how much must I slaughter? And then he takes over, he slaughters. Now think, in your neighbor, Yuhud, you got Ahmad Bey, you got Yusuf Bey, you got Farooq Bey, whoever. And he's in your neighborhood, he's one of us, he's one of our people. And if black worker is slaughtering, and there are many cases like this, where the Malawians are slaughtering, or the local black people are slaughtering, and nobody is concerned. We are just happy. This is a thing of great concern. And the cause of the problem are not the people who are giving halal certificates. Channelizing this all. The problem is the consumer. The consumer controls the market. If he doesn't want to eat it, and he stops eating it, and just for a few days, you'll bring the whole market under control. The consumer is the person. If he boycotts, how big companies, countries are frightened for boycotts. Because if you boycott their product, you just use the word boycott. It's like a bullet going through them. So the main particle in this whole chain is the consumer. If the supplier gives you halal, but the consumer is not worried about halal, it's not going to make a difference. If the consumer wants to give you haram, if the supplier is giving you haram, consumer is worried. It will make a change. So we must become conscious that we, and it is our matter. It is our matter of iman and kufr. It is our matter of halal and haram. It is our matter of mort. how our mort is going to come. So there is a very, very important thing to see, that what we are consuming, what our food is. So keep the roza of making sure that what we eat. Yeah, alhamdulillah, for iftari, for example, is only khajur and water. There can be nothing better than that. And a person can really survive on khajur and water. The Sahaba not only survived, they not only turned around the whole world, they not only controlled the whole world, they were masters of the world on the khajur and water. Today, it's not that we have to have all these fancy things. A person can survive on these things. And it's just a matter of surviving it on for a few days, and you will see the changes will come. And also, don't be bluffed. Shaitan will whisper in your ears, in today's world life, it's impossible. Where are we going to get proper fowls? Dr. Ismail, what's his surname, of Mpangeni, is a medical doctor, and because of a skin condition, health condition, he can't eat this broilers just like that. So he buys the broilers live. He's got nice clean cages at the back, he showed us in his yard. 3 days he kept them. Human body, 40 days, the food, the cycle remains in the body. After 40 days, it's out of the body. In fowls, 3 days. That is why the Fuqaha have written that a fowl that walking around freely also, first keep it in a cage for 3 days and give it proper feed for 3 days, then slaughter it. When the Fuqaha were so particular, Maulana Ma'ad of Malawi brought this point to my notice, that the Fuqaha were so particular, this what we call the Zulu chicken, what we call the farm chicken, the original chicken that were free range. No, not the free range today which is free range. The actual free range that just walks around and eats, that is the best chicken to eat. But anyway, that chicken also, Fuqaha have written, put it in a cage for 3 days. And then give it its feed, proper feed. Because outside it eats anything, worms, and anything it finds, it eats it also. But anyway, so put it in a cage and slaughter it after 3 days. And by his house, he only has that chicken. So when a medical doctor can do it, living in an urban area, living in a modern society and in a modern world, what is it difficult? Those other chicken you to get may be difficult, but to get the broilers is not difficult at all. You can get 6-week-old broilers easily, you can buy them. You just keep a cage and keep them in there for 3 days, and all the muck that they have eaten is gone out. And then at home, you yourself, you slaughter. And the best is, mashallah, may Allah, it's a pity I have to speak on this, I don't like to, it sounds like boasting, but Appa at home, till today, she slaughters, she cleans the chicken herself with her own hands, cleans the stomach and everything she does with herself, and all the other work, and then she's teaching, and then all the phone calls, and then her programs, and then suffers, etc. But it is possible, it's not impossible. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say this famous poem, Shaykh Pine Kato Irada Kare Asman Se Mangwa Li Jaye. You make the intention, Allah will make the arrangement from the heavens for you. And I saw this with my eye. In the UK, to slaughter at home or even on a farm without the abattoir, it's a very big fine. It's an impossible thing. But there they gave me farm chicken to eat. They gave me guinea fowl to eat. All home slaughtered. Goat meat, all home slaughtered. If you want to, you can do it. Agar tu hi na chahe, to baate hazaar hai. But when you don't want to, you'll find 1,001 excuses. It is up to you that it comes in your heart, and you want to do it, Allah will make it easy for you. And what you are, what you eat. So what we eat is very, very important. It's not a small, simple thing. Just anything, any type of ice cream, any type of juice, and just a label is not enough. But today we just go by the outward label, and we are satisfied that we should be very concerned about this, what we eat. May Allah give us halal, tayyib to eat, and then let us also have our character, our morals, our akhlaq, our amal, will also, our aqidah will also be correct. And we will have the proper solid aqidah also. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.